When I was a teenager, I received a cancer diagnosis. Not the news that an apparently healthy 15-year-old expects to hear. During the latter part of my treatments, I came across a booklet in the hospital waiting room. It was written for parents, but I thought I would give it a read anyways. The emphasis of the booklet was to help prepare parents to deal with the changes that a cancer diagnosis and subsequent treatment can have on their child. It covered a range of topics, including physical changes, like dealing with baldness, the emotional needs, how a child's emotions might range, with the expectation that there might be some lashing out, there might be some rebellion. However, what caught my attention the most in this booklet was a section on wisdom, complete with a picture of an owl. Now, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember exactly what I read 25 years ago. However, it went something like this. Your child may exhibit insight into matters which seem to be beyond their age or maturity. I liked that section of the book. I thought, that's me, showing wisdom and insight beyond my years. Now, whether this was true or just something I wanted to be true, I don't know. You can ask my parents the next time they come out for a visit. They aren't biased at all. James talks to us this morning about two kinds of wisdom. The first is earthly wisdom, and the second, heavenly wisdom. Now let's consider the signs that James gives us to identify these two forms of wisdom. Earthly wisdom, he writes, is full of jealousy, bitterness, and selfishness. In other words, this is a wisdom born of vanity, where we demonstrate our insights for the sake of appearing wise, as if our ego demands that we be seen to be superior to everyone else. The description that James gives us of earthly wisdom is very damning. It probes our sinful nature. When we consider James's description of earthly wisdom to stories in Scripture where sin and evil are at the front of things, we can understand his point. Consider that story from the Garden of Eden. The snake tells the woman that by eating the fruit, she will be like God and know what is good and what is bad. The woman looked at the tree and she thought, how wonderful it would be to be wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. A chapter later, we deal with Adam and Eve's children, two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain kills his younger brother Abel, who was favored by God. Cain wanted to be praised as Abel was praised, and in an act of jealous bitterness, he kills his brother. Fast forward to the end of Genesis, and we have Joseph, and we have his brothers. And Joseph is disliked by his brothers because he is favored by their father. As a result, they plot to kill Joseph, but in the end, they just sell him off into slavery, you know, because it's not that much worse, is it? They did this because they were jealous of the attention that Joseph received. In each of these stories, we can see how human wisdom leads us to err in our judgment. Whether it is seeking knowledge which is beyond us, or resenting the attention another has, and wanting that for ourselves. Human wisdom says, take care of yourself, and you will prosper. Act in a selfish, bitter, and jealous manner, and you will get ahead. However, James, and the witness of Scripture, says that this is not true. Now consider what James says about wisdom which descends from heaven. What does it truly look like? It is pure, peaceful, gentle, full of compassion. It produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudices and hypocrisy. Goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds that the peacemakers plant in peace. Consider those characteristics again. Purity, peacefulness, gentleness, friendliness, compassion, freedom from prejudice and hypocrisy. These are difficult traits to live into, especially in a world which calls us in the opposite direction. These traits are not found in an individual who is driven by their own ego. Society thrives on self-gratification. The question that drives us is, what is in it for me? If we can't answer that question to our satisfaction, we aren't interested. When we hold these words of heavenly wisdom, as James describes them, when we hold these ideals up, and when we compare them to our culture, what we see is what James describes is something which is truly counter-cultural. They move against the ebb and flow which we see in the world. They demonstrate a grace and a wisdom which is not given from this world, but which can only come from above. And James shifts direction at this point, and he begins to speak about divisions and about quarrels. And he places the source of these disputes on our desire for pleasure, the need to please and to be pleased, going so far as to indicate that we are ready to kill for such desires. Desire which is evidenced in the story of Cain and Abel. James links our quarrels, our unhealthy relationships, to a lack of understanding about true wisdom. We seek things out of a worldly desire to appease ourselves. Wouldn't it be nice if I had $1 million? Wouldn't it be nice if I could lose some weight? Wouldn't it be nice if I had the latest car, the hottest designer fashions, the perfect family? Wouldn't it be nice? Yes, I imagine it would be nice. But why are we asking and seeking for such things? Why do laundry commercials insist that my whites have to be spotless? Why do lottery commercials convey a lifestyle that is nigh but unattainable for 99.9% of the people? Why do alcohol commercials always show the perfect night out or the perfect gathering of friends? These images and more create a false sense of what life, of what our present reality is like. They create such a strong desire in us that we seek out, that we ask for what we see in these images. Do you remember Cabbage Patch Kids? Anyone remember Cabbage Patch Kids? Tickle Me Elmo dolls? When those products hit the shelves, stores were out of stock minutes after opening. If you came at 4 o'clock that afternoon, it was just empty shelves. People fought for those dolls, literally fought with each other to be able to take one of those toys home to their kids. Can you imagine that? Needing to demonstrate your love for your child with a physical item. Wanting to demonstrate that love so badly that you had a physical altercation with a stranger for the ability to do so. Is this how we demonstrate and model love? Love born out of a selfish desire to please. What about love which is born out of gentleness, peace, and understanding? Love which is grounded in compassion. Which is the more peaceable way? To act out of selfish self-interest or out of compassion? Which way creates division and which way creates unity? The message that James has for us today is clear. Submit to wisdom which comes from heaven. Embrace the ideals and characteristics which God would see us follow. Abandon the path which sees us only taking care of ourselves. For when we submit and when we love others, we will find that God has blessed us in ways beyond our counting. Amen.